Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And to the American people, I am humbled by the trust placed in me today. I will never forget that to whom much is given, much will be expected. And I promise you that I will do all my powers permit to be a faithful servant of the Constitution and laws of this great nation.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and that was the voice of Justice Neil Gorsuch, who became an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court 1 year ago today, replacing the late Justice Antonin Scalia. History will always record another name along with Neil Gorsuch, because he was only nominated after the Senate Republicans refused to even consider the nomination of Merrick Garland. They sat on that nomination for 8 months until President Trump was elected on the promise of installing conservative judges. Mitch McConnell's move as Republican leader to block Merrick Garland and approve Neil Gorsuch still infects relationships in the Senate today. But conservatives marked it as a monumental victory. Josh Blackman is a constitutional law professor at South Texas College of Law in Houston, an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. He's also author of Unraveled: Obamacare, Religious Liberty, and Executive Power. Josh Blackman, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, in his first year as a Supreme Court justice, what have we learned about Neil Gorsuch that maybe we didn't know from his years as an appellate judge? His approach to the law, his opinions, and how he approaches being on the Supreme Court?
Well, the most non-surprising thing is there are not many surprises. For the most part, I think he's cast votes as would have Justice Scalia. There might be a few places where he's to the right or to the left of Scalia, but he's more or less been where we expected him to be. For example, he voted earlier this year to allow the entire travel ban to go into effect. He's expressed some concerns about religious liberty. He's expressed some concerns about the scope of the administrative state. So he's more or less where we expected him to be. No huge surprises yet.
No surprises like the Chief Justice, who some conservatives have said have let them down on some cases, or even like Justice Souter from back in the 80s, nominated by President Reagan, who wound up not voting with him all the time.
Well, I think the Souter nomination was a big mistake for the conservatives, and they've learned their lesson. Justice Souter had been a judge for a very short time in the federal courts. Justice Gorsuch had a decade track record. So more or less, President Trump knew what he was getting when he put Justice Gorsuch in the court. Even John Roberts had only been on the bench for about a year and a half, 2 years, a fairly short stint. So I think conservatives have learned their lessons from those mistakes.
Now, court watchers and journalists covering the court have noted that Neil Gorsuch kind of came out of the gate firing, didn't really observe the conventions of sitting silently on the bench for your first year or two, asks a lot of questions, very aggressive with counsel in oral arguments. How has he impacted the culture of the court, do you think?
Well, there were several reports suggesting that Justice Gorsuch was irritating his colleagues. I'm skeptical of these reports because they're totally unsourced. But what we know for sure is that he's not a shrinking violet. From the very first day on his bench, he was willing to come out and ask hard questions. He's written a number of separate opinions, usually dissents, explaining why he doesn't agree with the majority. And I think he's looking to assert himself very early on this new court.
So, Josh, let's talk about conservatives everywhere and how they've viewed this nomination. Give me a sense. How big of a deal was it for President Trump to nominate and get Neil Gorsuch confirmed to the court, even after all of the drama with Merrick Garland?
You have to talk about Garland to understand Gorsuch. If President Hillary Clinton had appointed Merrick Garland to replace Justice Scalia, it would have changed the direction of the Supreme Court for decades. Justice Kennedy would no longer be the swing vote. It would be Justice Breyer. And at that point, conservatives would not be able to muster a majority on anything. This at least maintains a status quo for a couple years, perhaps. And if Justice Kennedy decides to retire under a Trump administration, then the court shifts decidedly to the right. This is a generational impact. And if you look at exit polling, a lot of people voted for President Trump precisely because they wanted a Republican to fill the Scalia seat.
Well, how important do you think President Trump, this nomination is to President Trump himself? I mean, he talks about it all the time. He doesn't seem to want conservatives to forget it, that he installed Neil Gorsuch on the court. It's been clear, I think, in general, that conservatives have been prepared to overlook things like sexual affairs, possible payoffs, the Access Hollywood tape, the list goes on. A lot of people think that's because of the reward for all of this behavior and alleged behavior. That's Neil Gorsuch, that it's worth it.
You know, I think it's unfortunate that the most important thing a president does is appoint a justice. But because the court has become so powerful over the decades, that's indeed true. We don't think much of President Reagan anymore. We think of Anthony Kennedy, his most important contribution to the world. These people sit on the bench for 3-4 decades, and they have significant power over our influence. So really, even more than any statute President Trump enacts, it's the justice that lives on and on. I think that's an unfortunate fact of life, but I think voters are quite cognizant of it.
I think Mitch McConnell might agree with you there, Josh Blackman. I mean, Mitch McConnell has said that it was the most consequential move he's ever made as majority leader in the Senate, refusing to even consider Merrick Garland and clearing the way for Neil Gorsuch to get on the court instead.
Now, McConnell, I think, is quite right. Had Hillary Clinton won the election, then I think the Democrats would have put on someone perhaps the left of Garland. It was a gamble. A gamble that if they held the seat open for a few months and Trump won the election, then the Republicans would get to appoint that seat. It might not have paid off, and it might have backfired in a very big way. Garland was something of a compromise candidate. He wasn't too far to the left. Perhaps President Clinton could have swung for the fences and put on a liberal version of Justice Garland, and this would be a very different situation we'd be talking about today.
Well, we are talking about Neil Gorsuch, of course, in his first year on the court. There's some big cases that are before the court now that he'll vote on. You've said there haven't been too many surprises, so maybe we can expect conservative opinions from Neil Gorsuch. But Josh, everyone is now still watching the court. They're watching Justice Kennedy, wondering whether he'll resign, retire, stay on the court. It's a big deal when you consider the impact that Neil Gorsuch has had and the importance his nomination is had to President Trump's tenure.
Yes, and one thing to note in closing, Justice Gorsuch clerked for Justice Kennedy, and it's very possible that Justice Kennedy is relieved that President Trump will put one of his own clerks on the court, and perhaps President Trump might put someone likewise to Kennedy's liking, and that might nudge the swing voter off the court earlier rather than later.
Well, everyone is going to be watching Justice Kennedy, that's for sure. I think in particular President Trump, who has gotten so much political backing out of his nomination of Neil Gorsuch, 1 year on the Supreme Court as of this week. Josh Blackman, author of Unraveled, Obamacare, Religious Liberty, and Executive Power. Josh, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.